Now I want to close with this. The Lord did something to me today, for me today. I confess to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have struggled with the fear of man this weekend. I have. I have struggled with the fear of man and the love of myself this weekend. Because I dared to try to handle some of the Greek in my message. And Ed's here. And Pastor Bice is here. Pastor Sonny is here. Men who have forgotten more than I know about the Bible. And out of my fear, I went over that part of my message over and over and over again. And I was anxious about it. Because I was afraid of what they were going to think. I was so afraid about being wrong. I don't want to be wrong. And I do hope, Ed, you will tell me if I've been. Oh, he's giving me a thumbs up. I don't know if that means I haven't been wrong, but oh, buddy, you've been really wrong. But I know it sounds humorous, but this was a real struggle for me this weekend. I get assigned this topic about the devastating effects of compromise and the fear of man in evangelism. I preach often about the fear of man in evangelism, and I was gripped with fear and trepidation about preaching this message because of some of the men who were going to be here. I sinned. I sinned against my God. And so I missed one of the sessions before lunch so I can go and work on my sermon some more, read my sermon some more, practice my sermon some more. I wasted an hour driving around trying to find a Starbucks and a Chick-fil-A to get something to eat because I hadn't eaten all day. I finally grabbed something to eat. And I didn't want to come back to the church because I knew I would be in conversations. I love the conversations, but I was stressed out. And I knew I needed to repent. I knew that before I came up here and preached this message, I had to go repent so that I would not be a hypocrite coming up here and preaching this message. So I drove down Mary Street. And I parked under a shade tree. And I started to eat my Arby's. And then the deputy sheriff in me kicked in. As I looked around and I realized, I'm in the projects. And every eye in the neighborhood was on this 50-year-old white guy in a truck, Pastor Dan's truck. As I was sitting there under a shade tree, eating my lunch. A different kind of fear set in. And my head was on a swivel. As people were walking back and forth in front of the truck, behind the truck, mad dogging me, if you know what that means. And I'm trying to deal with one fear, and then I'm wondering, why did I park in the projects? But I was hungry, and I was out of time, and so I was going to sit there and eat my lunch no matter what happened. This is what happened. A little boy named Nathan rode up on his bike. This bike was probably old, a lot older than Nathan. A friend had just given it to him. And he rolls by me as I'm sitting there in the truck. And he says, "Hello, I'm Nathan." And I said, "Well, hi, I'm Tony." "Well, that's a nice name," Nathan says. "That's a nice name." He gets off his bike, comes walking over to the truck. Your parents right now are gripped with fear because you're thinking of your child walking up to a stranger's truck, right? I understand that. I get that. So I asked Nathan, I said, "So how old are you, Nathan?" He says, "I'm 7. So that puts you in first, second grade, both. Both. I said, "Yeah, part of the day I'm in first grade and part of the day I'm in second grade." "Wow, you must be pretty smart." "Yep." I knew what the Lord was doing. As a 7-year-old little boy with no fear of man, reached out to be nice to me. As I'm sitting there in my truck, struggling with the fear of man of preaching this sermon, this little boy named Nathan rolls up and says, "Tony, that's a nice name." "So Nathan, have you ever heard of Jesus?" "No. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus?" And so, in not an open air voice, I explained to little Nathan who Jesus is.
Amen.
I explained to him what sin is and what hell is. And the gospel and the cross and how he can be forgiven. And I asked him if he had a Bible at home. "No? Can I give you one?" "Yeah." So I ran back over here to the church, stole one of Mark's Gospel of John's off his table, and one of the brothers here gave me an NASB Bible. Like a pew Bible. Not from this church. He had one. And I drove back out of the parking lot and Nathan was waiting for me on the corner. He couldn't come all the way to the church. And I had asked him during our conversation, I told him, I said, "I'm over here speaking at this big church down here on the corner. Are you familiar with this church?" "Yeah, they give away free food." And so I handed Nathan a Bible and the Gospel of John. He had already gotten a gospel tract. There was an elderly African-American man now in his front yard at the corner, really concerned about this conversation this stranger in the neighborhood was having with this little boy. Praise God for men like that. Praise God for men like that. And so Nathan said, "Well, I can't ride my bike home and carry the books. So, okay, I'll follow you, ride on your bike, and I'll drive down to your house, and then I'll hand you the books." Of course, that got other stares, right, as this truck is following this little boy on his bike. Right, I'm in deputy mode, and I know how this looks. But God's working here. And so I stop out in front of his house. He jumps off his bike. I hand him the Gospel of John and the Bible. He runs into the house, slams the door, comes running back out, slams the door. And I said, "Is your mommy or daddy home?" He said, "My mommy's home." "What did your mommy say when you came in with the Bibles?" "Don't talk to strangers." "Well, maybe I should talk to your mommy." "Okay." So I follow Nathan. He opens the door. With no announcement to mom, who's laying on the couch and under a blanket in pajamas. It's around noon. Mom groans as she gets off the couch. She's in pain. She has two healing black eyes. She's been beat. Doesn't take a deputy sheriff to know this. That woman had been beat days ago. Still recovering. So I thought you should meet the man who gave your son the Bibles. And three or four times she said to me with a stern look, "Every eye in this neighborhood was watching you when you were with Nathan. Every eye in the neighborhood." "Yes, ma'am, I understand that. I'm glad." "Every eye in the neighborhood was watching you." "Yes, ma'am." Praise God that Nathan's safe in his neighborhood. I asked her if she knew the Lord. She really wasn't in a physical state for a conversation. She said she attends another Baptist church. And I encouraged Nathan to honor his mother, to love his mom, to take care of his mom, to obey his mom, to be there for his mom. This is the first commandment with a promise. So I said goodbye to his mom, thanked her for her time, and thanked her for allowing me to talk to Nathan. And she closed the door, and I walked back to the truck, and Nathan followed me out. And I got back in the truck, started to drive away. I said, "Bye, Nathan. It's nice meeting you." He said, "Bye, Tony. It was so nice to meet you." Wasn't worried anymore about this. I still want to be right. I still want to be accurate. It's a fearful thing to open up the Word of God and preach it to anybody. But my fears were all self-love. They were all self-love. They were all sin. And the Lord used the friendly courage of a 7-year-old lost boy who never heard of Jesus in his life to correct me. That's the Father I fear, and that's the Father I love. And He loved me today in a very tangible way. And I will never forget, as long as I live. So where's the church? Where are the Christians who are willing to walk up to a stranger in a park, in a front yard, on a bus bench, in a classroom? Say hi, my name is Nathan. Where are the Christians who say they love God and love people, but they'll never drive down Main Street? Not for them. Where is the church? Nathan knows that this church gives away food to the neighborhood. And I thank God and I praise God that this church feeds the people in the neighborhood. But why did I have to come from California to tell that little boy about Jesus for the first time? Why? When there's 1,200 people on the roll of this church. Why? Maybe this church is doing gospel ministry. Maybe they've gone door to door. I don't know. I know I shouldn't assume. I know I shouldn't presume. But there's no one here from this church. This beautiful big church. 1,200 people claiming to love Jesus. Content with putting food in Nathan's belly. Content to make him more comfortable on his way to hell. Where are the people in my church? Where are the people in your church? Why are there 30 or 40 of us here? And now 3,000 or 4,000. Why? Because the church is much smaller than any of us realize. Because the bride of Christ is much smaller than any of us realize.
Right.
Because there are millions upon millions of unconverted people trampling under their feet the blood of Jesus Christ, and they refuse to talk about Him because they love themselves more than they love Jesus and more than they love Nathan. I know by and large I'm preaching to the choir, and I thank God for you. I thank God for you, my friends. You blessed me to no end with your friendship and your hospitality and your kindness and your open arms. I doubt I'm yelling at any one of you because you're actually here. But we're recording these messages so that maybe some of the millions, it won't be that. Maybe some of the tens of people who should have been here this weekend will get a good, swift kick in their spiritual butt for living in disobedience to their King while saying that they love Him. We all struggle with fear. We all struggle with fear. whether you've never shared the gospel with anyone before or you've been stepping up on the box for a decade, we all battle fear. How much we really love Christ will be shown in what we are willing to do in spite of that fear. If you're waiting for the fear to completely go away, that won't happen until we're fully sanctified and glorified in Christ's presence. What casts out fear? What casts out fear? Love! Love casts out fear! Don't be afraid anymore. Love God and love people. Don't be afraid anymore. Let your love for Christ be shown in your love for people as you bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and watch that love cast away your fears. All for the glory of our King. Father, I thank you for the patience of my brothers and sisters. And I'm so sorry, Lord, for my fear. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for what you did today, because you love me. And I also hope that it's because you love Nathan too. Please don't let that little boy grow up as a byproduct of his environment, fatherless, out on the streets by himself. Would you please save that little boy? And maybe he'll reach Main Street with the gospel. Because Christians closer by won't go. Save that little boy. I want to see him in heaven, Father. Oh, Lord. Dear Lord. Help us to live uncompromising, fearless lives because we love you. Help us never again to fear man, but to fear you as loving children fear a loving father. Do all this and more for your great name and for the great name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.